Following Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, December 1st, 2014.
The woman in your life will do what she must do to comfort you and calm you down and let you rest now. The woman in your life, she can rest so easily. She knows everything you do because the woman in your life is you.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Women's Spaces. My name is Elaine B. Holtz, and I'm your host. I can hardly believe that it's December 1st and it's Monday. I have two great guests today. In the studio with me is activist, writer, and project coordinator for the Peace and Justice Center here in Santa Rosa, Susan Lamont. And joining me on the phone from New York will be Alec Dopkin, author and singer of The Woman of Your Life, who graciously has allowed me to use the song as his theme song for Women's Spaces. A lot happening today. Had a wonderful, wonderful Thanksgiving with family and friends, and I want to wish everybody out there a happy, happy holiday season, one filled with joy, peace of mind, good health, and just lots of fun. I hope that we have a better attitude. You know, Christmas and all these holidays is more than just shopping. It's a time for family, a time for friends, a time to say thank you for all the good things people have done for us. I want to give a special shout out to my daughter and son-in-laws, Dave and Susan Jensen, for hosting such a great dinner, and to my sister Evelyn, who's always on the sidelines working her butt off. Well, me and Ken, you know, we just kind of make our salad and we just join and just kind of relax. One of the things that we're questioning, though, is, well, why do we have to watch football during Thanksgiving? We should be talking to each other and acknowledging all the things that we have to be thankful for. I also want to do a special shout-out to Coffee Cats up in Sebastopol for hosting a wonderful upbeat art show. KBBF's own Amy Contrada was there, along with Fuse Glass artist Stacy Denick, a beautiful display of pottery by Stephanie Hayes, and beautiful metal art by Susan. A special treat was enjoyed by the Coffee Cat String Band, and yours truly was there displaying her pillows. It was really a great community event, and I want to thank everybody for attending and for supporting Coffee Cats and for supporting some of the things that they do up there. Well, there's lots going on in our community for sure. Tomorrow there's going to be a piece through sustainability. It's going to be this Jason Mark, journalist and organic farmer, will speak on peace through sustainability as part of the War and Peace Lecture Series at Sonoma State University. That's going to be happening at the Warren Auditorium, Ives Hall, Sonoma State University in Rohnert Park. Really looks very, very interesting. And I thought I would announce this, and Susan Lamont's here from the Peace and Justice Center, is on Wednesday, they're going to be doing their bi-monthly collating of the Peace Press, and join them. The Peace Press is located at 467 Sebastopol Avenue, and it's a great way to meet other activists and kind of just have a good time collating the Peace Press. I mean, I've done it several times. It's really a lot of fun. Also, on Thursday, December 4th, there's going to be a holiday networking dinner party benefit for the Environmental Center of Sonoma County. It really sounds like a great, great event. Join members of the local environmental groups for good food, live music, wine, and hot cider. There's a charge, and it's going to be happening at the Sebastopol Grange, 6000 Sebastopol Avenue, Highway 12 in Sebastopol. Well, a lot going on, and I thought what we would do is right now, before we go into listening to the full song of The Woman in Your Life Is You and starting the interview with Alec Dopkin, I want to do the Women's Spaces Pledge. You know, it's something that I do every single Monday morning. I think it's very, very important. And what was so exciting was when I was at the Coffee Cats this weekend selling my pillows. It was really a lot of fun. I was able to give lots of pledges out to many, many, many different people. And I was really very excited about the response I got. So let's do the pledge together and just kind of relax. Sit back, take a deep breath. And, you know, the whole idea of the pledge is to get you in tune with who you are as a human being, as a person, to just feel good about yourself, if you know what I mean. So let's just say the pledge together. I'm going to say it first, and then you just repeat after me. My self-esteem
does not depend
on anything
outside of me.
My self-esteem
depends
on my relationship
with myself
and my higher power. You know, I say that every single day to myself. I mean, it's an amazing reminder that my self-esteem does not depend on anything outside of me. In other words, I can be my own person and not worry about what other people think of me or their judgment. And the other part is my self-esteem depends on my relationship with myself and my higher power. Well, you know, that doesn't surprise me. You know, when you start thinking my relationship with myself and my higher power, and who's the higher power? The other night I was out in my backyard, and I was looking. Ken and I were just looking at how beautiful it was. There was a little sliver of the moon, and the sky was just so clear because of the rains, and we could see the stars and all the wonderful things that happen in our universe. And I thought to myself, what a blessing to be living on a planet in the middle of a universe. It's just amazing to me. It's actually stunning. It's actually stunning. Anyway, there's a lot to think about, and I'm going to say the pledge one more time. My self-esteem does not depend on anything outside of me. My self-esteem depends on my relationship with myself and my higher power. Really, really wonderful, wonderful saying. Anyway, you are listening to Women's Spaces on KBBF Calistoga 89.1 FM. I'm your host, Elaine B. Holt, and we are going to take a musical... break right now, and Ken is trying to get a hold of Alec Dopkin. I noticed that. And when we get back, I want to remind people that the opinions expressed here are not necessarily the opinions of KBBF, its board of directors, members, and KBBF. When I come back, I will be talking with Alec Dopkin. Ken, did we get her on the phone? Okay, we're going to have to try her one more time. When we come back, I will be talking with Alec Dopkin, who wrote and sings the Women's Spaces theme song, The Women in Your Life Is You. We will be playing the complete song, and then we'll be joined by Alec to talk about this song and some of the history of women's music.
We're
going
to make a whole song? Yeah. A woman in your life will do what she must do to comfort you and calm you down and let you rest now. The woman in your life, she can rest so easily. She knows everything you do because the woman in your life is you. The woman in your life knows simply what is true. She knows a simple way to touch, to make you whole now. The woman in your life, she can touch so easily. She knows everything you do because the woman in your life is you. And who knows more about your story, about your struggles in the world? Who cares more? Weary shores. Then the woman in your life, as she's trying to come through, a woman's voice with messages, a woman's feelings. Oh, the woman in your life, she can feel so easily. She knows everything you do. Sure to give you courage, and who will surely make you stronger. take you home now. The woman in your life, she can wait so easily. She knows everything you do because the woman in your life is you. Because the woman in your life, the woman in your life, the woman in your life is you.
Wow, the woman in your life is you. We're having some trouble connecting with New York right now, so we're going to have to improvise a little bit. So I would like to offer something. I would like to talk a little bit about the song. In 1976, I was working at a place called Athena House. And Athena House is a program that is an alternative to incarceration for women. I was one of their administrators and counselors, and I was really, really very honored to be there. I had just gotten my master's degree, so it was kind of my first job with this degree, and I was just very, very happy, thinking, of course, that we were going to, instead of incarcerating women, we were going to offer them an option, an alternative, which really, really made me feel good. And so I was there for about a year, and we were having a staff meeting, and a gentleman by the name of Joe, I don't even know his last name, he came into the office, and he asked me, or he asked the group, he said, "Hey, does anybody here ever do radio?" And I was looking around the room, and nobody raised their hand. So I raised my hand, and I says, "Well, I don't know if this is radio, but when I went to Los Angeles City College, what I did was is I did the weather and the sports results, which was amazing to me. So I would announce the scores of all the sports, and I would talk about the weather, whatever the weather was. And that was my extent of talking in front of a microphone. And so what Joe said to me, he says, "Well, Elaine, did you talk in front of the microphone?" And I said, "Yes." He says, "Well, you did a form of radio then." He says, "Come on down." And he took me down to KBBF 89.1 FM. And this is in 1977. Well, I was really excited. And suddenly I realized that I could have a radio show. Then I thought to myself, what am I going to do? What type of show am I going to have? And then all of a sudden it popped up to my mind, women spaces, a space for women to have a voice, a space for women to be heard. And that's how I initially started the show. And then I started thinking to myself, okay, what is going on? Well, at that time, and I hope when we get a hold of Alex that she will talk a little bit about this, at that time there was a lot and lot of women music that was coming to the forefront. And one of the songs was "The Woman in Your Life Is You," which was produced by a group called Lavender Jane. And it was just an amazing, amazing song, and I decided to take it on as a theme song. Well, I was on the air for about 5 years with KBBF, and then I went on with my normal life. You know, I graduated school. Like I said, I had my master's degree, and I just moved on with my career. I decided that radio, you know, something that I would just put on the shelf. And then some years later, after I retired, I decided, you know, I want to still have a voice for women. I want to have a voice for women, a space for women, and that's why I call the show Women Spaces. And so then I start thinking about, once again, the theme song, and I thought, okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to make sure that I use "The Woman in Your Life Is You" again. And I went on research, and I found the recording on Silver Slipper. That's the name of their organization that handles all the music. And I called them, and I got a hold of Alec, and Alec so graciously gave me complete permission to use the song as long as I wanted to. And I thought, wow, that is great. So that's how the Women in Your Life came to be. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask Ken to see if he can just try Alex one more time and see if we can get her. And I hope that, you know, when Alex comes on, we can talk about some of the wonderful, wonderful music that was going on in the 70s with women and all that we were doing. I mean, it was a time of women's studies. When I went to Sonoma State, it was just amazing. I never believed that I could ever have a voice. And suddenly I found out that, yes, I can have a voice. And I think that's why I do the Women's Spaces Pledge, is I try to encourage women to look at their own self-esteem and look at what's going on in the world and kind of feel good about themselves. You know, self-esteem is a very, very interesting thing. Well, it looks like we can't get a hold of Alex. I'm really sorry about that. And it looks like Susan Lamont is a little bit late in coming in. So we're going to be doing some really deep improvisation. So what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to take a musical break, and we're going to listen to a wonderful song that I like. It's called The Times That They Are A-Changing. And what it is that when we get back and we talk to Susan Lamont, we're going to talk about the program that the Peace and Justice Center is starting, that she is what is considered the project coordinator. It's called Freedom for Militarization Project, which is diagnosing and healing the moral injury of violence. And I think it's going to be a very, very interesting conversation. And one of the things that they talk about in this Freedom for Militarization Project is violent conflicts rage across the globe with 28 million. Can you believe this? 28 million people suffering. The U.S. just can't refrain from bombing Iraq. I mean, it's blood flows for oil in a failed policy. Police continue to kill unarmed teenagers of color. At home in Sonoma County, Deputy Gelhouse is back on the street, and the sheriff's office has purchased 30, oh my God, all I can say is, oh my God, 30 bayonets from the Department of Defense. So it's very interesting that the Peace and Justice Center has started this new program, Freedom for Militarization. So what we're going to do right now is we're going to play The Times Are A-Changing by Tracy Chapman. And then when we get back, hopefully we'll be talking with Susan Lamont, and we'll see what happens. This is going to be one great improvisational show. Okay, Ken, you want to go ahead and put on The Times They Are A-Changing?
Soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone. For the times, they are changing. Come writers and critics, you prophesize with your pen. Won't come again. And don't speak too soon, for the wheel's still in spin. And there's no telling who that it's naming. And the loser now will be led to win. For the times, they are changing. Come senators and congressmen, please heed the call. Up the hall, but he that gets hurt will be he who has stalled. There's a battle outside and it's raging. It'll soon shake your windows and rattle your walls. For the times, they are changing. Come mothers and fathers throughout the land. Don't criticize what you can understand. Your sons and your daughters are beyond your command. Your old road is rapidly aging. Please get out of the new one if you can lend your hand. For the times, they are changing. The line it is drawn, the curse it is cast. Present now will later be past. Your old road
let's hope the times are a-changing. I mean, my goodness, there's so much going on. Well, welcome back. You are listening to Women's Spaces on KPBF, Calistoga 89.1. I am your host, Elaine B. Holtz. Great song. I love Tracy Chapman, but I also love The Times Are a-Changing. What was written by Bob Dylan way back during when we were all protesting the Vietnam War. I mean, it's so hard to believe that we're still protesting wars. And now it seems like everything has gotten escalated. So I'm really, really excited to introduce my next guest, which is Susan Lamont from the Peace and Justice Center. And before I introduce her, Susan is not only an activist of our community, but a great organizer. She just organized the Ferguson protest here in downtown Santa Rosa. I believe over 100 people came, which is really a credit to our community that people are coming out. This is just an outrage. I'm sorry I wasn't there, Susan. But it was. I heard how wonderful it was, people getting out. And, you know, we are angry. And, you know, sometimes, you know, people look, oh, don't be angry. Why are you feeling this way? Well, it's important that we feel this way. There are things going on in our community right here in Sonoma County that are very hard to accept. And when we look at the whole country across the globe, I mean, I can't believe that there was something like 10 or 12 protesters arrested. And some yesterday, I believe it was the day before, or about 2 days ago in San Francisco. And some of them are actually being charged with felonies. I mean, this is getting ridiculous. I mean, we definitely have a militarization of our police department, and we have a new attitude. Like somehow, if we go out and protest, which is what we're really doing, is we're really taking our First Amendment rights very seriously, that we have a right to go out and protest and to speak against the government and to speak against the authorities when we feel that they are not serving we the people. Remember, we the people is the first words in the Constitution of the United States is we the people. And it's very interesting, as most of you know, that I've been appointed to the Human Rights Commission here in Sonoma County. And what I had to do is I had to raise my hand. I had to raise my hand just like any policeman does, just like any public servant does. I had to raise my hand and take an oath, and I take this very seriously, an oath to defend the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of California against all enemies, both foreign and domestic. And so it was a very, very serious thing. And I asked myself, how serious do people take that quote, that oath, if there are so many violations going on against we the people? And one last thing about Susan Lamont, who I just adore. She was actually the first guest when I launched Women's Spaces about 7 years ago. I said, Susan, I'm going to start a television show. Will you please be my first guest? And as the good sport she is and the wonderful person she was more than willing. So welcome.
It went very well.
Welcome, Susan Lamont. Welcome to Women's Spaces.
Thanks for having me again.
Oh, no. You know something, and I understand that you're going to be going after this. Susan will be on the Cows radio station.
That's right.
In Occidental. So, I mean, she's really getting around, but it's well-deserved. I mean, if anybody could be a spokesperson for peace and justice in the world, I would definitely hand the gavel over to Susan. Well, Susan, welcome once again. And, you know, it's very interesting. I've been reading this new program that you're launching at the Peace and Justice Center called Freedom for Militarization Project, Diagnosing and Healing the Moral Injury of Violence. But before we go into that, I just want to talk a little bit about the Peace and Justice Center. Congratulations, you folks just celebrated 30 years.
That's right.
Here in Sonoma County. So can you give us a little background? What is the center about? What are some of their goals? And what is the feeling of having a center here in Sonoma County? How does that work for us?
Well, the center is about, obviously, peace and social justice. We also include environmental issues in there. The world can't run smoothly without peace, social justice, or environmental concerns being addressed. And we're about essentially linking the issues, because you can't look at any one of them on its own without thinking about the others. And we provide a space for people to come in and express their concerns and organize and get together. Sometimes people will come into the center for the first time. They'll be walking down the street and they'll say, whoa, I didn't know this was here. And they'll walk in and they'll say, gee, this feels like home. This feels really great. I feel like I'm welcome here. And so that's one of the things that we do for the world.
Oh, my God. It's just amazing. It's just amazing. But, you know, one of the things, another thing that has really been running through the communities lately is no justice, no peace.
Right.
I've been hearing that. And what I love about it is the first word is no justice, no peace. Because without justice, how can we have peace? I mean, that's what makes the world go round. Wouldn't you agree?
Right. And that's what people are kind of missing right now when we're told, oh, well, nobody should be rioting in the streets and nobody should be angry. I've had people say, well, you know, shouldn't you be more like Martin Luther King or Gandhi and not be angry? And I said, are you kidding? They were mad as hell. What are you talking about?
I don't know why people think when you respond nonviolently that you're not angry. I mean, that is
right.
That's an interesting correlation because usually you're more angry, and that kind of gives you that stance. It's like they're not going to. I'm just going to stand here and do my thing.
Exactly.
Well, how did you initially get involved in the Peace and Justice Center?
I mean, actually, I was walking down the street in Santa Rosa one day and saw a flyer on a pole that was announcing the protest at Bohemian Grove back in 2000. And they were having a shuttle bus from the Peace and Justice Center. And so I went down there. It was the first time I've ever seen it, and I've never left.
Well, I know you not only were the office coordinator, but you also were on the board of directors. You were also the president of the
board.
That's
right.
Where do you get all your energy to be involved with all these things? That's what I want to know. I mean, it's just amazing.
I don't know. My mother says I got it from my father.
Well, another interesting thing about Susan that was really, really interesting to me was when I found out her great-grandmother was actually a suffragette.
That's right. And my great-great-grandmother was, I can trace feminism in my family back to my great-great-grandmother who came over from Scotland in the 1840s.
So it's kind of been a thread in your family.
Oh, yes.
Well, let's talk. Let's get into this Freedom from Militarization project. You know, what they're calling you is you're the project coordinator.
Right.
Does that mean you're not coordinating the peace in?
That's right.
So now this is your specific.
I have, there's a new person, Taylor Anderson Stevenson is now.
Really? Taylor
yes.
Anderson Stevenson?
Yes.
Oh, my
yes.
God, one of my favorite people.
There you go.
Well, I'm going to have her on. And now
yes, you are.
Another hat. That is really great. Well, talk about the Freedom for Militarization project. What is the purpose? I mean, what inspired you? And it, to me, it rings of your hand in there a lot, that this is might be something that grew out of your mind.
Well, it's funny. It really actually didn't. I was saying to the board that we needed to have a project. And actually, while I was away, they came up with this title, Freedom from Militarization. And they actually fleshed it out and then presented it to me when I came back. And so, you know, I'm sure that they knew that this would be interesting to me, but also they were realizing that this is something that people are very interested in at the moment. So it's very current. Not that this hasn't been going on for a really long time, but now that the killings by police seem to be in the news, it seems like it's more frequent. There, you know, people in the minority community say, no, it's not more frequent. This has been happening all along. You guys just haven't been paying attention.
Well, I think ever since the Andy Lopez shooting was to me, we can even go, you know, Oscar Grant. I mean, we can just go. There's been a series of shootings that have been going on. And last night, it was really interesting. Last night I was on a talk show. It's called The Week Starts Here on KBBF. And I was talking to this woman, and one of the things that she, KPFA, excuse me. And one of the things that she mentioned to me, or she asked me, she says, well, why in your community, why wasn't it so violent? And I says, you know, we have a strong Latino community here, and most people are not secure enough to come out in the street, where the African American population have been here for 500 years. So there's a big difference, with the two groups. So talk a little bit. There's one thing that I find is really interesting when I read the first lines of this Freedom for Militarization project. diagnosing and healing. I love this because it is a moral issue, the moral injury of violence. And you know, it's really interesting. I don't mean to be biblical here, but you know, one of our commandments is thou shalt not kill.
That's right.
It doesn't say thou shalt not kill with justification. It doesn't say thou shalt not kill, you know, because you have a uniform on. It says simply thou shalt not kill. So it does become a moral issue. But why of all of a sudden it starts coming up with the moral injury of violence? Can you explain that?
Well, this is the part of this project that I've created. I added that sort of subtitle.
I knew you were in there somehow.
Oh yeah. Well, I have been getting involved in Veterans for Peace and went back to their national convention in North Carolina this summer, and got to hear presentations from Iraq and Afghanistan veterans. And they use the term moral injury a lot. And it's their explanation for why they are committing suicide. And it's not that you've been physically injured. It's that your heart and your soul have been injured by what you've been asked to take part in. And even if you haven't killed anyone, even if you haven't tortured anyone, being part of that system hurts you. And so I then extrapolated it to what has happened to us in this society, being part of such a violent society, that even if we aren't committing the violence, it's being done in our name. There are ways in which, if you drive your car and you're using oil, violence is being committed all over the world to bring you that oil. So whether you want to be or not, you're implicated in the system. And consciously sometimes and unconsciously other times, it affects you and your heart and your soul. And that's what this is about.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you say it affects your heart and your soul. You know, oftentimes, I know what's happened for me, particularly around the Andy Lopez situation, is what opened up in my heart is the fact that as a mother giving birth to a child and what that must feel like to have your child killed. You know, it's hard enough when a child has a disease, something that you really have no control over. But that officer had control. He did not have to kill that child. And then we go to the next step, you know, what happened with Michael Brown. I mean, he did not have to kill that young man. And now we have this 13-year-old.
12-year-old.
It was 12. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Well, Andy Lopez was 13. Mm-hmm. And now they're getting younger, folks. I mean, you women out there, you mothers out there, if you don't recognize that, there's something wrong here. But 12 years old, and I saw the videos, you know.
Yes.
I could
mm-hmm.
not see where that child was a threat.
Exactly.
And the officer jumps out of the car and boom, that's the end.
Well, what they're saying is that actually people in the United States almost unconsciously view black children as being older than they are.
Oh, really?
And expect them to behave more maturely, or also expect them to be more capable of violence because they are thought of as older. Very strange. And, you know, Wilson, when he described Michael Brown, described him as a demon coming at him.
Know.
You know, and I'll bet if it had been a white guy, he wouldn't have used the word demon.
Well, it was interesting because he was asked if it were a white person, would he face? Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
But the thing that was so interesting to me about what Wilson had to say was when in the interview that he had, I believe it was, I can't remember the name of the reporter, but when he had the interview and they asked him, did he feel anything? He felt he did the right thing.
Right.
And I think that is part of our moral disruption right now. If someone can kill somebody and justify it in their mind that it's okay. You know, I think this is where our morality is being really shot down.
Right.
That's a pun, but it's just that's the feeling.
Yeah, and that's part of what the Freedom from Militarization Project is about, is to uncover and expose all the different ways we are conditioned to believe that this is all okay, that this is all justified. I mean, I was just reading today that most Americans think of blacks as criminals before they think of them as humans.
Oh, my goodness.
And therefore, for the average American, killing them is, you know, it's a no-brainer. You don't even think about it. It's, well, if the guy got shot, he must have deserved it. And that's so prevalent.
Well, you know, I all of a sudden, as you were talking, you were saying that, my mind flashback is when we went into Iraq. And I remember all of a sudden it was shock and awe, mm-hmm. and we were going to do Iraqi freedom. And I remember watching on the television, watching us drop the bomb, seeing all those explosions, and my heart just stopped. And then I realized when we went out on the streets to protest, mm-hmm. after the fact, very few people came out.
Right.
And to me, it felt like, because it was almost like they were watching a movie rather than a real event happening where people and children, women, children, men, all kinds of people were getting killed.
Well, they didn't use that phrase in a vacuum. Shock and awe was aimed both at Iraq and it was aimed at U.S. citizens. And the most important word in it is awe, which means a reverence before the power and the glory of somebody. And so here's the power and the glory of the United States government and the United States military, and asking, you know, essentially wanting to elicit awe from the Iraqi people, like, there's nothing I can do. These people are too powerful. And the same thing from us. Look at how powerful our government is, and we're in awe of it as well.
Well, I have to say personally that I am very, very happy. I don't know what better word to use, that the Peace and Justice Center is taking something like this on in our community. So give us a little update of what's happening, what's going on so far with this project.
Well, essentially it's brand new because Taylor just started and I've just been training her, so I haven't really had much time to devote to it. But things that have been ongoing and will continue to happen is our very strong involvement in the Andy Lopez justice movement and going to the community and local law enforcement task force meetings and subcommittee meetings and seeing what we can do to change how law enforcement works within this county. That's certainly all part of this because so many people just have turned over such a phenomenal amount of power to the average law enforcement officer.
Well, you know, I have to say this. I'm, after, in light of everything that's happened, I'm really in shock that we have a second policeman actually on the board of the Santa Rosa City Council.
Yes.
But my hope is, here's my hope.
But see, they think we need, those people who voted for him think we need protecting.
Well, but the good news about that is that maybe with all this stuff going on, you know, there might be some sort of shift. I mean, I would like to think positive. You hear that,
yes.
Tom? I would like to think,
yes.
I would like to be really positive that the fact that you are a police officer, that you were our police chief, that you recognize the importance of not doing some of the things that we're doing in this community.
Well, one of the things that I want to start some conversations with law enforcement because I believe the logical extension is that they should want exactly what we want.
Well, they're human beings.
But not whether human beings or not, but peace, I mean, of course they are, but I mean, from the standpoint of peace and social justice, if people have social justice and are treated in a humane way, that makes the whole world safer. It makes policemen safer. It seems like a total win-win, and yet it seems to me we're always on the opposite side. And that actually doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, it doesn't make any sense to me. You know, and the older I get when I think about it, I'm going to be 75 in my next birthday. And since the moment I hit the ground, man, there has been war.
Mm-hmm.
It's been one war after another. one war after another, and it just doesn't make sense to me at all. And that's another reason why I do Women's Spaces, to be honest with you, because I really believe that women, we are the birthers, we are the ones who bring forward the children. We should say no more wars. Don't, you're not going to kill another mother's child.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how I felt with Andy Lopez's mother when I met her. I thought, my God, this could have been my grandson. This could have been my child.
That's right.
And that's, as women, we have to start thinking this way, and we have to start standing up.
Well, my mother, back, if I can take this back to the Vietnam War, because that's the other project we're working on. But back then, my brother, they initiated the draft, and you know he was going to be in the lottery. And she said, "If I need to, I'm hauling your brother to Canada." You know, she wasn't about to let him partake in that. As it turned out, he didn't want to either. But
well, my mother did something interesting, too, when it came to my brother, Mark. She went right to the doctor, proved he was asthmatic, and there was no way in hell that he was going to go to war. But that's what it takes.
Yeah.
It takes mothers standing up and saying no more.
Yeah. So the other project that began, piece of this that began before we announced this project, was working with the Veterans for Peace. The next, I think it's 11 years, the U.S. government is going to be commemorating the 50th anniversary of the Vietnam War. So this August was the 50th anniversary of the Tonkin Gulf incident. And so we combined with Veterans for Peace to put on a program to show that was false. And we'll be doing things with Veterans for Peace through this whole 12-year anniversary that's seeking to whitewash Vietnam. It's interesting how they're playing it, because they're saying it's all about the soldier, the Marine, you know, the sailor, and honoring them because they didn't get honored before. But they slip in all kinds of things that say we were fighting for the American, they were out there fighting for the American way of life and justice throughout the world and democracy. And so this, instead of acknowledging what it really was, they are sucking you in by saying we're going to honor the troops, and then laying this foundation for you to believe that it was, we were there for good reasons.
You know, the saddest part about the whole thing is how the young men who go to these wars, who have a heart, they're thinking they're defending their country and they're doing certain things, and how they get caught up in this cycle of disgust. That's what I call
it.
And this cycle of killing. And then they come back and they feel this moral issue where they can't really live with themselves when they start. It's like, you know, this is a terrible thing to even admit on the air, but I remember when I was a young girl, I was very, very frustrated. So I hurt a dog that I had. Mm-hmm. And I lived with that I finally went to therapy when I was about 30 years old and just let it out how terrible I felt about what I did to this poor dog. And I equated that to some young man or young woman going to a war zone and killing a child. How they must feel just hearing that and knowing that inside of themselves.
Yeah, but that was what happened at this National Convention for Veterans for Peace. There was a panel talking about suicide, and you know, a young woman stood up in the audience and she just said, "I don't know how you have," talking to the people up on the stage, "I don't know how you have convinced yourself not to commit suicide, because right now I can't stop thinking about it."
We know, Susan, I know there's a lot of ways that people can help. And right now, I do have Alec Dopkin on the telephone, the woman who wrote The Woman in Your Life issue for Women's Spaces. And I would like to bring her on for a few minutes. She's had the opportunity of listening to you and listening to this. You stay right here.
I will.
We still have time. Alec, welcome. Welcome to Women's Spaces.
Well, thank you, Elaine. It's lovely to be here, and it was very interesting to hear the last part of your interview.
Well, I have a wonderful, wonderful woman with me by the name of Susan Lamont. She's from the Peace and Justice Center, and she's now working. She's the project coordinator for a program called Freedom from Militarization Project, Diagnosing and Healing the Moral Injury of Violence. I mean, it's not so far. When we were writing all that women's music, that wonderful music in the 70s. So, Alex, just welcome to Women's Spaces. And I just want to let my listening audience know once again, Alex Dopkin is now on the phone. Alex is the writer and singer of the theme song for Women's Spaces called The Woman in Your Life is You. And she's been so gracious to allow me to use it for the past 7 years. I hope it's becoming more and more popular because it's one of my favorite songs. So, Alex, while we have you on the phone, can you give us a little background on how you wrote this song and what was going on at the time? I know that you were with a group called Lavender Jane, and I'm going to flip back because we're a little backward today, and I'm sorry that we had a little bit of a difficulty getting a hold of you. Let me tell my listeners a little bit about you. Alec Dopkin has been a folk singer in the 1960s. She's been celebrating, I love this word, blatant lesbianism in song and story since 1972. Is that when you wrote The Woman in Your Life?
Yes, it was just around then. Yeah.
And
it was a very exciting time in my life.
Well, why don't you talk a little bit about that? It was also an exciting time in my life. I mean, involved in women's studies and all of a sudden realizing, hey, besides becoming so politically active at that time, all of a sudden realizing that I, as a woman, I actually have a voice. So talk a little bit about that time.
Well, that's right. That was the early, mid-70s when lesbianism met feminism, and the world has never been the same. I certainly have not been the same since that meeting. And so, you know, so many consciousnesses were getting raised, and I joined a consciousness-raising group. I was still married, separated from my husband. Well, actually, I joined this group before I was separated. And really, being introduced to feminism answered so many of my questions and filled a big political gap in my life that had occurred when I left the Communist Party. I joined when I was 16 in 1956. I'm the same age as you, Elaine. And I'm turning 75 in August.
And oh, I'm your elder, huh?
Yes. Yeah, I guess so. At least for a couple of months. Anyway, so I had left the party, and there was this big, you know, political gap in my life. And when I discovered feminism, of course, this is oversimplification, but when I found feminism, I realized that it's certainly the most comprehensive, elegant, complete, lovely political analysis I've ever come across. So that's you know, in a nutshell.
Can I thank you for using the word lovely? This is Susan. I just, so many people refer to feminism as angry, which is not how I view it at all.
Oh, no.
And so I thank you for using that word.
Well, you're quite welcome. It's one of my favorite words.
What's so lovely about it is that we all found out that we could have a voice, and also what we found out is that we actually had a history, and we also found out
we had a movement, we had women before us who've done remarkable things we never heard of.
It was a great time. And, you know, I really believe in my heart of hearts that we need that movement to escalate again.
Well, you said it. We've needed it for a while, but every time something happens, like when Occupy first started, I always think, oh, maybe this is it. Maybe this is the big mass movement that we've been waiting for. And, you know, so there's always that hope.
Well, tell us a little bit about, talk a little bit about the inspiration of the song, because one of the things that, I mean, I play it every single week, and
yeah.
I always start the show by singing the line, "The woman in your life is you." So why don't you talk a little bit about the inspiration, what inspired you behind that song?
The song is really unique in my songwriting career, because it's the only song I can think of that I consider came to me as a gift, and that I usually would work hard on my songs, you know, and spend time and think about nothing else while I was working on them. But that song, My memory of it, you know how memory is. But my memory, my romantic memory, is that it came through as a gift to me. So I don't really have, you know, too much specific information. It was the time of great discovery. As you said, we were finding our voice, finding out we had one. We had a point of view. It wasn't just our peculiarities. There was a system called patriarchy that was doing all this horrible stuff to all of us. And we found that out, and the power that was released was unimaginable, really. And so it was all in that spirit that that song occurred. So well, I'll take credit for it, but really, I felt it was just handed to me.
Well, the way I found it was very interesting. I was on the air for the second time. And I let me tell you something. I was a nervous wreck. Uh-huh. I couldn't believe it.
She was.
And I had all these different women album in front of me. You know, Chris. I can't remember Chris's last name. You talk about Chris Williamson. You know, Sister. I mean, I remember when that song came out, Sister and Lean on Me. I mean, it was such a mind opener and heart opener for me. And so one the second night of the show, I was flipping through the different album, and I pulled out Lavender Jane, and the first song on that album was The Woman in Your Life Is You. And the minute I played it, and I was actually taking, I was one of the first talk shows probably in Sonoma County, and the minute that song ended, the phone started to ring.
Really?
And it was such an inspiration. And this one woman called up and said, Elaine, that's your theme song.
Ah.
I said, well, I don't know if I can use it. You know, I don't even know. Oh, she says, just do it. You know, we're women. We can do whatever we want. And I said, fine. And it wasn't until I went on television that I actually had to call you and get permission for it. So I want you to know that I really appreciate it. Hundreds and hundreds of women have heard it over and over and over again. I mean, we play it every single morning. So I want you to thank you from the bottom of my heart for being inspired enough to, when it came through to you, that you were able to write it down. Well, tell us a little bit about what you're involved in now. I know you're a grandmother. I know all the wonderful things like that have happened to you. But what are you involved in now, and what are some of your aspirations at this point in time?
Before I answer that, I would like to say that in my recollection, I wrote that song as an intro to a radio show.
Oh, really?
Yes, to Liza Cowan's Elector Revisited on WBAI in New York.
Oh, my goodness.
And it was a fabulous feminist show. And then I fell in love with her, and I wanted to write an intro for her, so she used it as an outro.
Oh, my goodness.
So the
vibration of that song, like you said, it was a gift, and the gift was meant to share with the world, because through radio, many people,
that's right, and many, many lesbians and women. Anyway, what was back to the
question? Well, you know, on the lesbian issue, you know, I want to share a little story about me in Sonoma State. You know, I was actually voted by the Women's Studies Department to be the valedictorian for my class in 1975. And when we had factions. We had three factions. We had the lesbian women, the straight women, and then the I don't know group.
Right.
Well, you know, I was in the I don't know group. Of course, where else would I land? And where what happened to me at that time was, and my listeners need to hear this, what happened to me at that time was, is that I recognized that I am an individual, and I have a right to choose for myself, my lifestyle, who I want to love and who I want to be with. And since that point, I have supported people's lifestyles. And I think it's very important that we look at that, that we cannot judge for one another. We have to only judge for ourselves. And that's what I love about The Woman in Your Life Is You, because it's you. It's who you are, mm-hmm. and who you want to express is very important. Well, as we come to the end of the interview here, Alex, is there any final words? And I'm just so excited. I want to have you on again to where we can just talk about many of the political things that went on at that time.
I'd love to. I'd love to do that. In fact, what I'm doing now, I know we're getting close to the end, but what I'm doing now, I'm co-director of OLOC, Old Lesbians Organizing for Change. And the other new co-director, and I just wrote, just under our own names, not under OLOC, the disappearance of lesbians, the erasure of lesbians, I should say. So we look for that article.
Well,
we're going to submit it everywhere.
I would be honored to have you on as a sister, as a friend, and definitely as somebody who has allowed me to use something so wonderful to be part of my life. And I hope you enjoyed whenever I have someone who I consider maybe a little bit of a superstar on, I send Alex the program so she can hear who's hearing her song.
Well, I appreciate it, and I appreciate your ongoing support for so long, Elaine, really, and your good work. So well, thank you.
And thank you. And we will be in touch. I will get in touch with you because I'm sorry that we had the little time that felt like there was a little bit of time mix up. I don't know. We've had mix ups all along. But so what? That's life. And the most important thing is that we did hear your voice. So thank you. Thank you, Alec Dopkin, for being on Women's Spaces again. Alec Dopkin is the singer and writer of the wonderful song that we have as a theme song called The Woman in Your Life Is You. Thank you once again, Alex. And I'm going to turn it over to Susan as we come so I can give Susan some last words. And I want to thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Well, I just want to say that if anybody wants to get involved in the Freedom from Militarization Project, it's clearly something I can't do on my own. So,
do you mean you need help?
Yes, yes, indeed. Because it is going to be directed to a certain degree by the people who come to help me and what their issues are. So it's not that we're going to concentrate on one thing. You're not going to come into the center and say, this is the issue. I might shove you out the door if you say it's about one issue. So we need people to bring their particular interests and their particular talents and what they want to offer to it, and we'll just sit down and work it out. We're going to be working with lots of groups and lots of people. So I can be reached at 707-575-8902, and I can be emailed at freedom@pjcsonoma.org.
Give that one more time. Freedom.
freedom@pjcsonoma.org.
Well, you know, Susan, you have my support.
I know.
And you have the airways and anything that
Thank
we can
you.
Announce. And I mean, this is such a, you know, folks, you don't realize what an important project that this is. You know, freedom's just another word for nothing left to lose, you know, and The reality of it is if we don't start looking at this, we have a lot to lose.
Yes, we do.
We have tons to lose. And one of the things we have to lose is our freedom. And that is so important. It really is. Well, any other things that you'd like to wrap up with before we say goodbye to the segment?
Well, just stay tuned with the center to find out what's going on. You can get in touch with me, and we have a weekly email calendar that tells you what's happening all around the county for the next few weeks, and send it out once a week, and it's a really good source of information, not of just what we're doing, but what other groups are doing as well.
Well, I know I steal a lot from it. So thank you once again. I want to thank my dear, dear friend, Susan Lamond, for being on here and being such a wonderful guest and for being the project coordinator for this absolutely wonderful project called the Freedom from Militarization Project, which he will be the project coordinator. And I want to thank Alec Dopkin, the singer and the writer of the wonderful song that I use as a theme song called The Woman in Your Life Is You.
The woman in your life will do what she must do to comfort you and calm you down and let you rest now. The woman in your life, she can rest so easily. She knows everything you do because the woman in your life is you.
The previous Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, December 1st, 2014.